To wrap up the day today, we're going to be talking about enforcement trends across the healthcare industry. We have yet another distinguished panel with us here today. First, we have James Gillingham, who is an assistant U.S. attorney at the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Eastern District of Texas. Mr. Gillingham currently serves as the civil chief for the Eastern District of Texas. Prior to being promoted to that role, James served as the Eastern District of Texas's affirmative civil enforcement coordinator and civil health care fraud enforcement coordinator. So welcome and thank you for joining us today. Next, we have Wilson Jones, who is the chair of the healthcare practice group at Bracewell and the former chair of the health law section of the State Bar of Texas. So I'm sure no one here is familiar with him at all. Wilson has provided counsel on the full range of legal issues faced by clients in the healthcare field for more than 29 years. And finally, we have Scott McBride, who is a longtime member of the planning committee for this conference. Scott provides legal services to clients throughout the healthcare industry with a focus on compliance and enforcement issues. He has been a previous speaker at this conference. I don't know if I can count how many times, Scott, but welcome. And after this, we are going to go directly into the reception. That's going to be right outside these doors at 5:15. If you have any questions, you can use the the Q code on your desk to submit those or come up to the microphones if we have time for questions at the end. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, I like it when the government lawyers surround it, but I may need to be sitting between you two as well. And we're happy to have James here with us. James, both Scott and I have been across the table from him. We found him very fair, aggressive, but fair, and the best thing about James is he does speak his mind, and he does give us his opinions, which we really appreciate. So thank you, James, for joining Scott and me this year.
One clarification on the beginning, these are my opinions, and I'm not binding the Department of Justice or our office to anything. So feel free to throw them back in my face when we're talking across the table later, but they aren't binding. They're just embarrassing.
And you've been 90% the time fair with me. That's just so we're starting at the right spot.
So, just to start off, just to remind everyone about the various enforcement agencies and various statutes that are out there. And of course, everyone knows there are many. But I think one of the things, James, we're seeing a lot that investigations did slow a bit during COVID, and they're picking back up, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think the pace slowed during COVID for obvious reasons, including just, we recognize that the priority was patient care, and we don't need to be shaking people down to get records and responses to our CIDs. But the things are going to pick back up, one, because it's going to go faster now, and some of those investigations that started either prior to COVID or in the midst of COVID are going to be coming along. So I think that in a sense there'll be kind of a break in the dam, and we'll have a lot more moving forward quickly.
And one term up there that people may not be as familiar with is parallel investigations. Why don't you explain a little bit about parallel investigations and why that's important for us in healthcare?
Sure. So one thing that we emphasize in our office that's actually something that we're instructed to do from Justice is investigate cases in parallel. Most commonly in the healthcare space, we're going to have three components to that. There's going to be a potential administrative component. You're thinking about your CIA, your resolution with the agency. There's a potential that there may be a criminal action. These are fraud claims, kickback violations, and then there's the civil portion. And what I think that everyone needs to consider is you can't pretend that these don't exist. If you're talking to me about a kickback case, there is a possibility, given the AKS is a criminal statute, it's the predicate for our investigation, but that could also implicate the criminal division. Also, OIG is going to want to determine what their resolution is going to be at the end. So I think that whenever you're dealing with our office, you want to make sure that you understand all the different prongs and be sure that you're considering the potential resolutions there. That way, when we get to the point of a settlement agreement, you're not for the first time reaching out, to Karen Glassman or somebody else at OSIG trying to figure out what they're going to do. So we try and work very closely with the agency and with our criminal division to make sure that we're moving things on at the same time as opposed to sequentially. And you need to be thinking about it that way as well.
James, let me ask you on that, because are you usually coordinating where the criminal division is doing its own investigation simultaneous that the target knows that? So I've only had it in one time where I got a CID from the civil side, and I got a grand jury subpoena from the criminal side, and the requests were the same.